And really what Acts is talking about through the entirety of the book is the Christian church. It's talking about the early church, and the book of Acts is often used for us as a model of what the church should look like. So what I'm really focusing on this morning, if you're going to take away one key word, it's this word called community. Community. I believe wholeheartedly that what Acts is telling us is that we are to be a community of believers. So what does a community look like? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning as we look at the book of Acts. So Acts chapter 2, we're going to pick up at verse 42. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, for the breaking of bread and to prayer." Okay, so when it says they devoted themselves, if we go back up just one verse to verse 41, it says, "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." So when it says that they devoted themselves, it's talking about those people that have become a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So they devoted themselves. And then it goes on in verse 43. "Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." So this is a picture of the early church, and I'm going to suggest it's a picture of what the church should look like today. Now, obviously there is differences, cultural differences, there's time differences. We're in 2021, so things obviously look a little bit different, but there are certainly ideas that fall or that can be taken from this passage and should fall into our lives as believers in Jesus Christ, and that's really what we're going to be focusing on this morning. I think that among some of the most critical pieces of this passage, the greatest essential that stands out to me is this idea, this one word again, that I started out by saying, this word of community. Community. Church is to be a community. Stacy stood up here earlier this morning. Deb stood up here earlier this morning, talking about a great opportunity for us to be community with each other through life group ministry. So church as a whole, when we gather together on Sunday mornings, we are to live a life of community, but then there comes times where I think it's really wise for us to get into smaller communities because there's great advantage for those smaller communities in regards to some of the relational stuff, the care stuff, the serving stuff, all that. So community, it can look so different. Community can look like us sitting here this morning. Community can look like a group that's gathered in somebody's living room tomorrow evening. Church is to operate as a community. Acts chapter 2, verse 44, it told us, it said, "All the believers were together and had everything in common." Another version of that that I really liked how they phrased it said just a little bit differently. It said, "There was an intense sense of togetherness among all who believed." Just creates a little bit deeper picture in my mind of the importance of community, right? There's this intense sense of togetherness among all who believed. The church, it is not, and we say this off the cuff so many times, but it's so important that we let it sink in sometimes as well. The church is not a club. It's not simply some religious organization. It's not, we are to do life together and we have a purpose that we are to achieve together. We're going to get to that as we continue this morning as well. Sure, church meeting houses, the physical buildings, the need for that to be able to do ministry together is a part of the reality of church in the United States of America in 2021. And there's business aspects to church. Absolutely, you guys all know that. We get together in January and we talk through a bunch of that stuff as a church body, the church board gets together on a regular basis and talks through some of that business. But that should not be any of the focus of the community. It's important. It's important to note that the church, according to Scripture, it's not a building. It's not a meeting house. It's an organism. A creature or a living being is what the church is. The church is a living and functioning system with interdependent parts. Believers, the person sitting in front of you, the person sitting behind you, to your right, to your left, which constitute, which bring together the body of Christ. Each one of us, separate. But when we come together, we bring together the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5 says this: "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." That's the church. That's the community that the Acts church is talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free." So with all of our differences. "And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." And then if you jump down to verse 27 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it ends by saying this: "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." You are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. We make up the body of Christ. We are a community, a piece of the body of Christ, and each one of you are a part of it. Author and pastor Tim Chester, I think he accurately states it like this: "Church is not a meeting that you attend. It's not a thing that you do. It's who you are, it's your identity, it's your place of belonging." That's the Acts model laid out for us. I believe that the passage that we read this morning from Acts chapter 2 kind of gives us three areas that we should focus on as believers to have a healthy community, to have a healthy church. And again, when I say church, I'm not talking about where we're sitting inside of today. I think that those three things are simply this: intentionality, unity, and purpose. Intentionality, unity, and purpose. So as we talk about community and the importance of community and the call to community, we also see in there that it's going to take intentionality for that to take place. Unity needs to be a part of that, and purpose. And if we have a purpose, it's easier for us to be intentionally united as well. Kind of does that circle thing. So being part of a community, a biblically based community that we see in the book of Acts, it involves intentionality. In Acts 2, verse 42 that we read earlier, it says they devoted themselves, they committed themselves, they preserved themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves. That kind of devotion only happens by intentionally deciding to be a part of something. Again, another version that I read to you earlier, it said there was an intense sense of togetherness among the believers. Intentional means done on purpose, not by accident. Doesn't just happen. It means refusing to simply go through the motions again yet another day. Intentional means asking the question, why are you doing what you are doing? That's intentional. For way too many people, going to church on a Sunday morning, it's a matter of convenience and not a matter of commitment. I found this to be interesting, and I was not able to verify all of its bits and pieces, so take it for what it's worth, but I found it interesting. An article I read said that President Theodore Roosevelt made a commitment to attend church on Sundays and continued it all of his years in Washington, even as the President of the United States. It's said that the pastor of the church always received a letter or a phone message when the President of the United States wasn't going to be in town explaining his absence. Don't start emailing me all of your absences. I don't need to know that. He made his priorities, the President, known by how he used his time, by what he put at the top of his list of priorities. It's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible that somebody in any kind of role like that says, church is my priority. Surveys show that many people feel it is quite acceptable to simply watch a church service on television or online and never commit themselves to regularly assembling with the body. And I understand full well that this last year and a half has made that even easier for people. We as a church live stream on Sunday mornings now as a result of the last year and a half. It's not all bad, but it shouldn't be all we do is turn on the TV and sit down for 45 minutes or an hour on Sunday morning. Some people say that just talking about God and religion with friends and family and at work, that is enough of a gathering that they call it church. I think that the reality is when those things just happen periodically, we're not being intentional about community. The early church was focused on nurturing growth as believers. That's what the community of God should be like. Nurturing growth in each other, in each other's lives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And then you go down to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching, not forgetting to gather as a community as some have forgotten. As believers in Christ and people that are part of the body of Christ, we must be intentional in our commitment and involvement in the body of Christ. So intentionality is one thing that we see in the book of Acts. Secondly, we see this idea of unity throughout this passage. Starting in verse 44 and going to verse 46, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. I think it's fair to say that they were experiencing an intense sense of togetherness. Just a few chapters beyond where we're reading this morning, in Acts 4, verse 32, it says, all the believers were one in heart and one in mind. We have to realize that that doesn't mean that they all agreed on every single thing that they were doing in life and talking about and working through and going through in life. What we're talking about is being one together. It's being focused on Jesus Christ. and how we as a church, as a body of believers, as a community, together, united, can advance the kingdom of God. Paul reminds the church in Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, to let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful, he says. The term translated for fellowship in Scripture actually means communion or joint participation. Community is a common unity amongst us. It's got to have purpose, and oftentimes we have a similar interest in the direction that we're going. In the church, that interest should be the direction of Jesus Christ. It's living a shared life with each other. It means sharing the common experiences of our joys, our fears, our tears, and divine glory that takes place in our lives. Sharing those things with each other. I would say that a Christian community is a group of people who are committed to Jesus, first and foremost, and then committed to one another, sharing their lives together, supporting each other. That's what the community is about. It's God's people hanging out together, doing chores together, doing life together, eating together, working together, playing together, serving together, studying together, growing together, laughing together, crying together. You know what this kind of sounds like to me? Life groups. That's what Deb stood up and told us this morning. We got this great team of people that have worked so hard to put together these 7 different life groups. And as Stacy said, it may not so much be the passion of the theme or the topic that your group is working through that attracts you to it, but it's the doing life as a community piece. When we truly do this, when we honestly are this connected with the local body, we don't just walk away because we don't like a decision that the leadership makes. We don't simply walk away from it because we're facing hard times. That's not what community does. We don't simply just walk away from it because there's something bigger and better and shinier down the road. We don't just walk away from it unless there is an unbiblical, unscriptural teaching taking place. We are to be committed to it, intentionally committed. We are to be an intentionally unified body of Christ, community of Christ. I think this is important because you're a vital part of the community. Each one sitting in here, each one that's home, that calls this your church, you are a vital part of this community. And you know what happens when a vital part leaves? It impacts the rest of the body. It's just the reality. It's important because you're a vital part of a community. Because we are to be different than the world. I think that's why it's important as well. See, the response of the world when something is hard or difficult or people disagree with what I'm thinking or what I'm saying is, what do? We just scatter. We just walk away. We go a different direction that might be easier for that moment. We're not called to be the same as the world. We're called to set an example for the world. I think one of the things that's important about this whole piece of unity is that we can be a witness to the world that we live in. They can look at you as a believer in Jesus Christ and say, you know what, I know some of the things that they have gone through, some of the things that they are going through, and I've seen how their church or their community, their life group has surrounded them, walked with them, and I've seen how they've stuck with it even through the tough times. And we set this witness out there that something can be different. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 says, the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's community. That's unity. If one is suffering, we're all suffering. It hurts all of our hearts. Again, Stacy shared in regards to Haiti and how when she heard this yesterday, she was questioning, I don't think she said questioning God on, but questioning God on this whole thing of why do these bad things happen to these great places, these great people, that kind of concept. Right? Because a part of our community, an arm of our community, a partner ministry of our community is suffering. That's why. It's amazing what we can do when we have unity within a community. It's so true. Many members can accomplish collectively more than any individual can do, even the same number of individuals. So if we took everybody in here and we all went out and scattered and did our own thing, I believe that collectively we can probably do it better. An airplane, it consists of 100%. John, tell me if I'm wrong on this. An airplane consists of 100% parts that cannot fly on their own. If we were to take any single part of an airplane, an engine, break it down to the single nut and bolt, none of those pieces can fly on their own. Not a single piece. But you put them together, and all of a sudden, they can pick up a 220,000-pound Boeing 747 and launch it through the sky at 35,000 feet in the air at 530 miles an hour. It's pretty impressive what happens when all parts are brought together. Unity. We can accomplish so much when we're unified together. Last thing that I see in here that I want to really focus on is the importance of purpose. Purpose. Part of intentionally being a community is being committed to discipling one another with the gospel and sharing that gospel with other people that don't know it. If we're not doing those two things, we should just close the doors. We should. That's the purpose of the church. If we're not intentional about helping each other grow and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, we may as well turn the lights off, walk out the doors today, lock them up, and don't come back. Because we're missing the purpose. The church has been given its mission, not by Dustin, not by any of your church leadership people, by Jesus Christ himself. John 20, 21, it says, and these are the words of Jesus, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Every one of us has been called to be missionaries. To be on a mission for God. A missionary is one who's been sent. We have all been sent. I am sending you, said Jesus. The idea of living life as a community involves purpose and making sure that our purpose is clear and that we're following that purpose. Paul tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 47 that we read earlier, the earlier church days what was spent praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. When we do the purpose of God, when we say yes to I am sending you, he adds to our numbers daily. We're not talking about numbers here. I don't care about numbers here so much. I care about numbers in the kingdom of God. What the early church in Acts was doing that I really feel strongly we should probably be taking on as our purpose as individuals, they were doing the Great Commission. That's what they were doing. I think the Great Commission for myself is probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and I think it's that because it's a good reminder to Dustin of where to focus time and where to focus energy, and on days that are just frustrating days, saying, you know what, that stuff doesn't matter nearly as much as what Jesus says in the Great Commission, right? The Great Commission, if you're unaware of where it is, it's Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And it simply says, Jesus came and spoke to them. And it says, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And then we get this great promise at the end of it that Jesus says, and surely I will be with you always till the very end of the age. If we are living our purposes, we are keeping our eyes focused on Jesus and pointing others to Jesus. Living with purpose is living in such a way that Jesus is intentionally shared. It's living life missionally. Missional intentionality is the mentality or the habit or the culture in which we share lives together. We look for opportunities to talk about Jesus. We look for opportunities to encourage. We look for opportunities to challenge. We look for opportunities to pray and to praise with each other. Throughout all this, all you're doing is ordinary life. Everybody does that. We are to be part of a witnessing community. In obedience to both the churches and the individual call, we are to share the gospel with all people. Why? Because Jesus said, I'm sending you. We are to work together to see lives transformed through a relationship with Jesus Christ. The church cannot become content being anything less than a community of intentional, unified, missional, purpose-driven believers. Or we're missing the mark. Christ calls us into three progressive aspects of the Christian life. There's a personal faith piece, which moves on to mutual love and care and sharing within a church community, and then leads to a united outreach and witness beyond our church community. That's what community is all about. This happens great in the larger body. Again, it's like that airplane, right? Apart, none of those pieces can do it on their own, but you bring it all together and we can do a whole lot together. So it happens well in the large body, but it also happens differently in the small body, the small gathering, the life group gathering. Deb was emailing me a couple weeks back and said, hey, here's our plan for getting news out about life groups. Is there any way you can mention life groups in one of your sermons? She got a whole sermon kind of around life groups today. I honestly think that the application today is really simple. Sign up for a life group. See if it makes a difference. I give you the challenge. I'll be the first to admit, my wife will tell you that it's so true. I am as hesitant as any other male in the room to sign up for a life group. We signed up last night, though. I can also tell you that. Because it means that we have to be more vulnerable to each other. It means that we have to maybe even share some pain with each other. And it means that we have to maybe even get excited about something that happens in somebody else's life. And all that's kind of weird for some of us. But I'll put the challenge out there. I bet that if you will take the risk of signing up for a life group, that there will be more benefit to it than there will be those awkward kind of things. That you will benefit from it as well as the other people in the group will benefit from it. So really, the application today is sign up for a life group. When we say amen at the end of the service, like, fill the table out there. Deb's going to be out there. Make her work like crazy getting you signed up for your right life groups today. Pull your phone out right now. If it's on your mind now and it's easier for you to do it that way, go to fairlandchurch.com, pull it out right now, and click on the life group button. You can sign up that way too. You don't even have to wait in the line out there. Get signed up. Why? Is it because Deb and her group put all kinds of time into getting ready for this? No, that's not it. Honestly, I hate to say it, Deb, but that's not why I'm encouraging it. That's not why I'm saying you should be doing it. It's because the book of Acts, which is part of the Bible, the gospel of Jesus Christ, says that we should be doing life in community. That's why we should be doing it. Community. It's not always easy. In fact, a lot of times it's really hard. But community, it's also what we're called to. I encourage you. Be a committed part to community as the church in Acts set the example for each one of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we see all throughout Scripture that you designed us, you created us to be relational people. The extroverts, the introverts, we're all created to be relational people. We all need relationship. We see it through Jesus' walkings on the earth and his interactions with people and how he walked with people. We see it through the early church as we look at this chapter in the book of Acts. We see the importance of it, the emphasis of it, the intentionality of it. We see the results of it as this passage talks about people coming to know Christ. That last verse says, and the Lord added to their number daily because of their gatherings, because of their community. Help us, Lord God, as individuals, to recognize that we are one little piece of a much bigger group. We're one little piece of this thing called the body of Christ. And help us to recognize that when we just simply walk away from, give up on, whatever the case might be, community, it impacts so many people. So help us to intentionally say, you know what? I'm going to be a part of community. Whether that be the church as a whole community or small group community. And then when stuff gets tough, gets frustrating, gets too vulnerable for me a little bit, help us to remember that we're intentionally choosing to be a part of it.
and we'll become better and stronger people for sticking with it. And we will see you use and advance the kingdom of God as we do so. Heavenly Father, as always, we thank you for your word, for the instruction that it gives. Thank you for your presence here this morning and moving in this place. Pray that you continue to move in each one of our lives. Pray this in your name. Amen.